This is Glenn Coble, and we are on the air with Glenn Coble. And today is our special guest, James Anderson, the Marion County naturalist. And I hope I have James' microphone up. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. And James did the unthinkable and the unforgivable. He brought a snake in, and it's a live snake. But you know what? I touched him, and he's really cute.
I'm proud of you, Glenn. I really am.
Oh, me. Well, anyway, what is he? Talk to us about him.
So this species is called the Decays brown snake, so not like a decade, 10 years. It's D-E-K-A-Y-S. So it's the herpetologist who first discovered
him. Is that what a person that studies snakes is, a herpetologist?
Actually, a herpetologist is a person who studies both reptiles and amphibians.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you might as well combine those two. They're all slimy and ugly critters. No, he's cute.
He is. I was telling Glenn before we went on air, I believe he's about a year and a half, maybe close to 2 years.
How long would you say is? Maybe 8 inches, 6 inches?
Yeah, I would say.
Something like that.
On average, these guys get about 9 to 13, so they're not designed to be a relatively large species of snake. Garter snakes, you know, they can get up to about 25 inches or a little bit longer.
Yeah. Now, I've been bitten by a garter snake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I have too.
This little guy has such a teeny, teeny, his head is almost imperceptible.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that his bite would be terrible.
Was actually very interesting.
You keep avoiding me when I say his bite.
they rarely, rarely bite people for the brown snake. Now, the garter snake, that's a different story. Yeah. I can hold one. They might bite me a little bit and calm down. Other times I've held some and constantly just bite me like crazy.
Yeah. That's their way of getting free, maybe.
Yes.
They think.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But not with you.
No.
The naturalist with no fear.
No fear.
Well, now, why is he still active? I would have thought he would have been.
So, since we are in, I know we're kind of getting late fall, but it's been a warm fall lately.
Yeah.
I mean, not just animals, but if you notice the leaves, the colors are just getting, I guess you call the peak period versus most times we're usually in the middle of October.
Right.
And we're in that peak period, and towards the end of October, we've basically gone. But I have a friend who was actually one of our former park board members.
He's not your only friend, is he?
Maybe.
Okay.
Well, anyhow, he went to Hocking Hill State Park last weekend, and
figuring he's going to see beautiful trees.
Oh yeah, and he said they're just starting to change too down there. So it's all over Ohio that we're kind of in that peak period. So this warmer season has really affected not just plants but animals as well.
Well, what this thing has such a tiny little head.
Yeah.
What does he eat?
So they primarily eat slugs, worms, small insects. The larger ones will probably eat small toads, small frogs. So they're just designed to handle small animal population.
How, that's your job, by the way, Mr. Brown Snake. How are they born? Are they born live? Or are they born in eggs?
So it's funny you mention that. Brown snakes are one of the four species of snakes that actually give live birth here in the state of Ohio.
Oh.
Garter snakes, brown snakes, water snakes, and queen snakes are the four species. For the other species of snakes, they lay eggs.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So several years ago, we had a garter snake. Her name was Linda, and she was a feisty snake. And my intern called me one summer, and she said, Linda had babies. I'm like, oh, okay. So she had about 30 of these little, tiny, little babies that are all in her aquarium with her. So we got them outside. We probably kept just a couple just to show people. But, yeah, so it was really interesting that I didn't know she was pregnant.
Yeah, I was going to say, how long is a garter snake's gestation period?
So it's usually about a month, maybe a little less than a month.
So she went out with somebody much before she came into your
care.
Because in your care, you wouldn't have allowed her to go out with somebody.
I probably would have. If I knew she was pregnant, I probably would have left her out in the wild.
Uh-huh. So how many do you think she had?
So garter snakes can have up to about 30 or more babies. Now, wow. For brown snakes, it's usually between 10 to 15.
That's my biggest nightmare, waking up in a garter snake's giving babies.
Oh, they're cute little. I mean, they're very, very tiny. I mean, you think he's
smaller
tiny.
Than him, huh?
Yeah, smaller than him.
Have you named him yet? You're going to put him back.
Yeah, right? I'm going to put him back. No, I didn't name him.
Your son hadn't named him yet?
No, no.
What does your son think of this little guy?
Oh, he really liked him. He was touching him the other night, and actually I lost him in my house.
Yeah,
so
said that.
Luckily I found him. He was hiding somewhere. My wife's used to, I lose all kinds of stuff.
Yikes. Well, that would have been, if I was a woman, I would never have married you. Not because of your looks, not because of your personality, but if you have snakes in your house, I'm not coming there. Well, now, will he go out and, I always hate to ask this, is he a meal for something?
Oh, yes. I mean, other snakes, you got raccoons, possums, turkeys. Turkeys actually love eating small baby snakes.
Yeah.
Toads, frogs. So there's all kinds of things that will eat him.
Oh, that's a shame. I'm sorry, Mr. Brown Snake.
So, yep. But they're very important for the environment. As we mentioned before, all those other things that they eat. So without this guy, our world could look a little different.
He's very active.
Yeah, so when I first got him out, he was very sluggish because he was really cold. But since I've been handling him, my body heat's it's getting him more active. And then the warmer he gets, the faster, and he'll start crawling all over.
Yeah, and then you got to be careful. He might crawl underneath something you can't find.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. And nobody wants to step on a little snake.
Yes.
He's a nice little guy.
He is.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to mention that garter snakes, every once in a while, can be this brown coloration. They're not the typical black and yellow. Most of the time they are, but every once in a while they can be brown, they can be black.
I've always thought of them as green.
Green. Well, sometimes they can. They can have a green tint or a teal or red tint,
like
just depending on genetics.
Stripe of green.
Yeah. So how you can distinguish between garter snakes and brown snakes, I know it's kind of hard to see, but if you look on top of his body, see how he has those little brown dots?
Yeah.
Okay? So those guys will have the brown dots going all the way down their body. Now, even if the garter snake is this brown coloration, they have more of the stripe effect.
Yeah.
Now, if you were to flip under his body, see how he has kind of a creamy body, brown body?
Kind of pretty.
Versus garter snakes are more olive green color.
Okay.
So that's a good way you can distinguish between the garter snake and the brown snake.
So garter snakes, are they ever that small?
Yeah, when they're
birth?
Yeah, at birth. And then, it'll probably about 2 years of age, they'll probably be the same size or a little bit larger than this guy.
Huh. Well, he's a handsome dude.
He is.
I hope he has a long life. How long would he live?
They only typically live between 2 to 4 years in the wilds. In captivity, I think it was up to 10 or 12.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, these guys aren't designed to live for very long.
Sounds to me like hawks have something to do with their longevity.
Oh, yeah. Since they're a smaller snake, a lot of other animals will prey upon them.
Yeah. Well, that's unfortunately nature. My wife loves nature shows until it gets to the point where the lion's coming out of the woods.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to kill the wildebeest. And I'm much the same way. I think they should all get together. But they don't. Maybe that's why human civilization likes to kill each other. I don't know. Hopefully we're not eating each other like they do. But, he's a handsome dude. And I would say he's, maybe an eighth of an inch in circumference?
I would say at least, yeah.
He's really tiny. He even looks smaller than a nightcrawler.
Probably about the same circumference of a nightcrawler. Actually, some of those bigger ones are probably a little bit thicker than what he is.
Yeah, he's not very thick. He's very demure. Well, now, you brought him in a box. What did you bring for him to eat?
Well, I put a couple slugs in there.
Oh, did you?
He ate one.
Okay.
I couldn't find the other one. And then I found a nightcrawler, and I cut it up into smaller pieces.
Isn't that cannibalism?
Well, I cut it up because it was the same size as him, and I knew he couldn't eat that. So I thought if it was a little smaller, then he had a chance. But at least he ate the one slug, so hopefully that'll be enough to help him get throughout the winter.
Really? They only need that little amount to eat?
So, most snakes, they only eat maybe once or twice a month. month.
Oh.
Now, it depends on what they eat. If it's, I guess you could say, more filling, the longer it lasts inside their digestive tract. But if it's...
sitting up.
Oh, he is. Sorry. No, you're fine. If it's smaller, they may require maybe a couple meals a month. But yeah, they're... Oh, yeah, so he's flickering his tongue right now.
He's trying to look like a cobra.
So they'll do that. What he's doing is he's tasting the air, and he has a special organ behind his brain. It's called the Jacobson organ, and it's basically an interpretational organ, and he's basically seeing what's food, what's a threat. He's basically interpreting us by our taste.
Kind of like a dog when it sniffs the ground.
Yeah, same concept, yeah.
I'll be darned. Now, I know a lot about dogs sniffing the ground because my doggie had to go to the vet yesterday, but she told me that you should let dogs sniff because all they're doing when they're sniffing, it's nothing nasty. They're just finding out where the other dogs are and what the other dogs are saying to them.
Yep, absolutely.
And so they have kind of a similar thing there.
Yeah.
He is really cool. I mean, I might get to like snakes if they were all like him.
Well, good.
As a matter of fact, I don't dislike snakes. I just don't want to.
Don't want to touch them. Yeah.
Well, I don't mind even touching them. I just don't want to hold them.
Yeah.
And this little guy, you have obviously learned how to handle critters. You're not squeezing him or anything.
Because if you do that, then they'll feel threatened, and the more they feel threatened, the more they're going to fight back and bite, and then they'll. What's called musk, which is like a poop-pee combination.
That's what happened to me with that black snake I told you about a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
It musked on me. On me.
That's a herpetologist's perfume.
Ugh, it's musk. You know, I didn't notice any smell, so maybe it's a smell that only other...
some species are worse than others. I'll tell you, water snakes and queen snakes, it makes a nasty foul smell.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Gosh. These guys... Not so much, or at least it doesn't bother me because I'm used to it.
There can't be a whole lot in that little guy. He is tiny.
Oh, garter snakes. I've been mussed on like so much, about the size of probably a circumference of like a quarter or more.
Oh.
And, I mean, they'll just muss all over you.
Yeah. Now, the black snake was pretty big.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I thought he was pooping on me, and I didn't know until I met you that that was called musking.
Musk.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because it didn't look like poop. It was pretty big. Yeah, and I'm getting a new affection for this little guy.
Well, that's good.
I'm going to give him a name, Brownie.
I like it. That's a good name for him, Brownie.
Yeah, but I like to eat brownies, but not this brownie. Yeah. Oh, my. Well, now, when Native Americans lived in this area, did they do anything with snakes? Did they use them in religious things, or?
I would say, yeah. Certain tribes probably did. I mean, of course, you know, they probably did eat them. They do have good protein.
I've been told that people eat rattlesnake.
And a lot of the southern states, down especially Texas, which they have a rattlesnake season. So, and it tastes like chicken, apparently.
Everything does. Yeah.
That's right.
Now, if you eat a rattlesnake, do you have to take like the venom sac out or something?
So you just chop the head off.
Oh, okay. So it's not like a carp where you have to take the whole vein out?
Yeah. As long as you, because they have like a venom gland right there behind where their fangs are.
Oh, okay.
And as long as you cut the head off, then the rest of the body's fine.
Well, that's what they say about politics. I'm sorry, I have politics on the brain because I have to think of questions. We're doing a political thing tonight, Candidates Night 2021, and all night, usually all night before you come on, I'm thinking, okay, what can I ask that's really smart about nature? But last night I was thinking about what am I going to be able to ask our politicians. So I'm a little scatterbrained today.
Oh, that's all right.
Okay, now, Tallgrass Trail.
Yeah.
Is there anything that's still... blossoming or still
a lot of goldenrods some aster species are still in bloom. Milkweed pods are busting out for their seeds.
Is bluebell something?
Virginia bluebells?
Yeah,
those are more of a spring ephemeral. So those guys are only out between late March to about mid April.
Okay, I have a blue flower that came. It's in my front flower bed. It came up from I don't know where. I did have a wildflower seed packet that I spilled a little bit, so that must be what it was. But it
decided it's time to come out.
Yeah.
And so it's very pretty, but it's tiny. But anyway, okay. So where are we? Okay. So you do have some stuff to come out and look at.
Yeah, flora-wise. And, yeah. Of course, the leaves are changing, so it's making pretty scenery. Yeah.
Have they really changed a lot yet out
there? I would say within the last week, they really have changed. I was just at Terradice yesterday. The leaves are changing nice. Myerswoods Nature Preserve, which is our other park outside of Morrill. They're on Marin Wynette County Road. I highly recommend going there, especially if you're into fall scenery, fall leaf scenery. It's just very gorgeous because it's right in between, or excuse me, right across is where Kildare Plains Wildlife Area is, okay. Which is owned by the state of Ohio. So when you're there on Marin Wynette County Road between our park and Kildare, it's gorgeous. I'll hopefully get some pictures here soon.
Now, does sumac turn red faster than other? Yeah, I believe it's sumac that turns
red. Well, I mean, there are a lot of species of trees that will turn red, and it actually has to do with the amount of acidity in the soil.
Oh.
Because, like, sugar maples, I mean, a lot of sugar maples will turn yellow and orange, but if there's a lot of acid in the soil, they actually will turn more red.
Is that right? Now, my next-door neighbor has a giant, well, not giant, but a nice-sized maple tree, which is now starting to deposit its leaves on my yard, of course, because I'm upwind from her, but they're all very yellow, so apparently that doesn't have a lot of acid in their soil.
Yeah. You know, and I've been promoting a lot on our social media. I don't know if you have seen, but if we call it Leave the Leaves if you can. I know a lot of city villages may have a type of ordinance, but if you're allowed to, you know, leave the leaves for the wildlife. A lot of people don't realize that leaf litter is very crucial for a lot of our wildlife for the winter season.
What does it do?
So leaf litter, if you were actually kind of like what I brought with me today, just a handful, and I mean, you'll see insects, you'll see all kinds of small little life. And of course, that can be food for other animals. It's great shelter for
turtles, maybe.
Oh, yeah, it could be, yeah. Turtles, small mammals, toads, moths, butterflies, especially some of our larger moth species like the luna moth. And
they're still alive? And
so they once they turn into their chrysalis or their cocoon stage, a lot of times they'll either stay on the branch of the tree or they'll drop down.
Oh.
And so that leaf litter is protecting them.
So when I was mowing my lawn the other day, I might have killed some.
You might have, yes.
That makes me feel bad.
And they're noticing, you know, a lot of wildlife, you know, especially your urban, suburban areas is depleting. And one of the reasons why is because, we rake the leaves, we, you know, get the leaf blower and we blow them away. So I always tell people, you know, leaf litter is very crucial for wildlife.
I usually leave the leaves. Oh, we have a caller. Let's go to their phone and see what we've got going here, if I can figure out how to do this. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, good morning, Glenn, and good morning, James. How are you this morning?
Oh, good. Wonderful.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to share something with you.
Sure.
My wife and I were coming back from Mansfield a couple of days ago, and along 309, Route 309, past a field that had been already been harvested. Don't know whether it was beans or what it was. I think it was beans. But anyway, looked over, and here sat a bald eagle in the middle of the field, awesome. Obviously snacking on something.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful white head, white tail. Just an absolute glorious sight to see.
Was he sitting down in the field?
Yes, he was actually in the field and pecking at something. I couldn't, from a distance, I couldn't tell, obviously, what it was. But some carrion, I would assume.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that bald eagles are like vultures. They will eat carrion.
Well, I didn't know that until I talked to you, you know, either a year or so ago or several months ago about the one that I'd seen up on Route 53 going into Tiffin.
Yeah.
That was right alongside the road working on some carrion. So
how far out of Marion were you at that point?
Probably halfway between, I take that back. We're just a little ways out of Ontario on 309 heading towards Galleon.
Yep, I know where you are. Okay.
Yeah. Just one of those open fields there. Actually, it's fairly close to the airport, if I remember correctly. But now you had told me that when they have a totally white head, totally white tail, they are an adult?
Yes, they are between 4 to 5 years old. And then after that, it's really hard to determine their age. But under the 4 years of age, you can tell between 1 to 4.
Okay.
The amount of whiteness on their head.
Well, I tell you, this one had an absolutely glorious total white head and white tail. I mean, you couldn't have gotten any whiter. It was as white as a driven snow.
Well, I envy you. I have always looking for eagles, and I'm sure I've told my wife, oh, there's an eagle, and it was a vulture.
Well, it helps when they're totally white like that.
Yes.
You can really spot them.
Yeah.
And I've been fortunate. I think that was actually in June of this year when I saw the one up on 53 going into Tiffin.
Okay.
So I've seen two so far this year that were adults that were both having a snack, one in the field and one alongside the road.
Yeah. James, are eagles making a huge comeback?
Yeah, they are a great poster child of an animal that almost became extinct, and now they are thriving again.
That's fantastic. I know when I was doing a lot of surface hunting years ago up along the Sandusky River, I would see quite a few. I know we had a couple of pretty good-sized nests up on the Sandusky River back in the mid to late 90s.
Yeah.
And there was also one, I think, over near Indian Mill there and up near Upper Sandusky, too, that they'd built a pretty large nest.
Well, I envy you.
What's that?
I envy you that you got to see
them. It just thrilled me when I see them.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm always spotting hawks. I see quite a few of those.
But
on a non-related issue, Glenn, about two nights ago, I stumbled across on Turner Movie Channel your favorite horror movie.
Which one?
Them.
Them. I love them.
You know, and I never realized until I actually sat there and watched it through again. I missed about the first 15 minutes of it.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize how many actors were in that to go on to great success.
Really? I'll have to look at it again.
Fess Parker was in there.
Really?
James Arness was in that.
My.
James Whitmore was in that.
Jeez.
And several others that I remember their face and can't remember their name, but they went on to have spectacular careers. But you think of Fess Parker, James Arness, and James Whitmore.
Yeah.
You know, they had fantastic careers after that. And I think the movie was made in 1954, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah,
so that was actually, I think that was the year before Gunsmoke. I think Gunsmoke started in 1955.
We'll have to ask James if there are giant ants anywhere in this world.
They're
radiated.
They're pretty scary looking.
And not very real looking.
Right. And one more non-related issue while I've got you on the phone here, Glenn. I don't mean to eat into your time.
No, that's fine. We're having a good time.
But I was talking to a friend of mine who is also on the Board of Trustees with me at Malabar on a non-related issue, and she is a big Star Trek fan and a big science fiction fan, and I mentioned to her that your son had written quite a few science fiction books, but I didn't know, and I don't think I've ever asked you this, whether he wrote in a pseudonym or whether he used his real name.
No, he uses his real name, Christopher with a K, Coble.
Christopher with a K, Coble. Okay, I'm going to have to tell her that because she's a big aficionado of science fiction.
I think he's up to 12 novels.
12 books so far.
Yeah,
so I'm going to have to tell her to look for him if she hasn't already read some of his books.
They're pretty far out. they're quite Star Wars type. You know, there's a battle.
I think anybody that is into science fiction, especially the Star Trek, Star Wars type thing, they like that stuff anyway.
Yeah,
so, I can't get a handle on it. But
no, I can't either. My wife reads it, and I will read the first chapter usually, and then I've had enough.
All right, guys, I'll let you go, and I'll be listening. Have a great day.
Thanks for talking to you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Fred Malone, he was on with me last week, he's always he's really bright about things. He knows all sorts of stuff, much like you.
And he knows a lot about history, yes.
Yeah, he does. And so I tell my wife that I'm going to my education every time I come to either your show or his show.
You get a little everything between nature and history.
And last week we just kind of freeballed it. We just started talking about stuff, and I learned even more. And
awesome.
Learned a lot about it.
Sometimes those will end up the best program.
Yeah, they are. Now, he's getting a little antsy.
He is. He's become more warmed
because
up.
Because of his heat, yeah.
And as you've probably been watching, so when I move my hands back and forth, I always tell people that when you ever deal with snakes, you always want to do that because they think they're going somewhere else, which in reality they're not. Probably if I kept holding him like this where he couldn't move, as I mentioned earlier, the more stressed out he becomes, the more he'll fight back. So, well, as long
so
as,
now he thinks he's going for a walk.
Yeah, yeah. He thinks he's getting slither. Away. Yeah, he's getting away from me. But yeah. In reality, yeah, he's not.
Yeah, well, let's hope not, because we wouldn't know what to do with them. On candidates' night. It would be kind of scary to have them go. Well, it wouldn't be scary, but we might roll over him by accident. He is so tiny. You know, all you people that are listening, if you don't like snakes, much like I'm not fond of snakes, I think you'd fall in love with this little guy. He is so cute and so small and so gentle looking. He hasn't even, except for that one time where he sat upright trying to look like a cobra, he does not look menacing at all.
So when you kind of mention that, when you first encounter them, the first thing they'll do, yeah, they'll kind of stiff up and they'll kind of get in that strike position.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned earlier, these guys, I have never been bitten, and I have even read they say they really, really bite people.
Come on, Brownie, bite him so we have a first.
But garter snakes, on the other hand, I mean, I'll see if they'll snap at me.
Yeah,
they
do kind of snap around. And I have picked up a garter snake just to get him. I don't like to mow over those things, and I've occasionally found one, and usually I use a stick to get them off the yard, but yeah. Occasionally I have to pick them up and throw them off the yard. But
yeah,
and they're kind of feisty.
Oh yeah, they are.
Yeah. All right, I love him. So anyway, we were talking about the tall grass trail. Are most of your turtles going down?
The hibernation?
Yeah,
yep.
Kind of hibernating?
Yep, the snapping turtles, the painted turtles, the soft-shell turtles, yep, they are.
So we won't see those if we come out there?
Unless we get a huge warm snap.
You mean they will come back if you get a warm snap?
If it's warm and if it stays consistent,
yeah, okay.
Yes. But if it was only stayed for a day or so, most likely no.
Can that... I hate to use the word, but can that kill animals if they have a warm snap in the middle of the winter?
Yes, and I think I've mentioned it. I know I mentioned on Charlie's show. I'm not sure if I mentioned it with you, but when we get those periods in the winter where it's cold and then it gets really warm and then it gets cold, and when it fluctuates like that, it does hurt wildlife, and especially for reptiles and amphibians, because since they're cold-blooded, you know, they're thinking, oh, it's spring, it's time to come out. You know, it requires a lot of energy to get out of that hibernational state. Then it turns cold again. Oh, now I got to go back into hibernation. Again, it requires energy.
It's not like just going back to sleep and waking up.
Yeah, it's a process, I mean, that they have to go through.
I have that process in waking up, but going to sleep, I have no trouble.
So, flowers, flora, I mean, it's the same thing, you know. When you get those warm periods, they sprout out, and then next thing you know, it gets cold. Some of them are a little resilient. Some of them are like, okay, I can't handle it, and they die.
Now, I don't like to do bulbs. It's just too much work for me. Yeah. But I have planted some bulbs, and it says you can overwinter them, but you have to put them in the freezer or the refrigerator for 2 weeks before you plant them and then have them in the winter, because you got to fool them so that they think that they're coming out of out of winter. So.
Cold stratification.
Is that what that's called? Now, do you do that with critters?
You wouldn't want to do that with animals.
Yeah, yeah. He's really getting quite feisty.
He is.
I really appreciate you making me feel a nice feeling toward that little snake.
Oh, good.
I still don't want to hold him.
Well, that's what I'm here for, to help educate others about our local wildlife in Marion County.
Now, while you're talking about that, do you do a lot of public speaking for kids in schools and stuff like that?
Yeah, now before COVID, I went into schools. I did after-school programs during school, or they came out to Tallgrass Trail or our other parks. Actually, just last week, last Friday, River Valley... their environmental science class came out to Teradise Nature Preserve. We went in the Olentangy. Boy, it was cold. But we did find some macroinvertebrates and some fish.
What type of vertebrates?
So it's called macroinvertebrates. So macro means you're able to see with your eye.
Oh.
Micro means really small.
Yeah.
So what these macroinvertebrates, they tell us about our water quality through an assessment, because certain macroinvertebrates will tell you if the water is good, because that means – They're sensitive, and if there's any type of pollutants, then they'll start to disappear. Then your more tolerance are more abundant, but then more pollution comes in, and then those guys start disappearing, and then you're very tolerant, where it's just like your leeches, your worms, your midgefly larvae, those guys, if that's all you're seeing in your water quality, then it's showing, hey, then something's really wrong with your water, or some type of pollution, and there's all kinds, I mean, from farmers to industry to human, I mean, households, a lot of different forms of pollution that can affect water quality.
That's why you don't dump paint down.
Yeah, exactly. So again, these macroinvertebrates, so we went through, and we were a little late in this season. If we probably were in early October, we would have found more. But we did find a few fish species. I actually just posted a picture of a grass pickerel, which is a type of pike.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, the last one I caught was at Hocking River when I was in college.
It did look like a pike.
Yep. It's in the same family. They're a lot smaller. They only get up to about, 15, 20 inches.
And that's a microinvertebrate?
That's a macrovertebrate. But the microinvertebrates we found some damselfly, mayfly, nymphs. We also found a water scorpion. So next summer I'll have to bring in a water scorpion.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like something I'd love to see.
It's like this guy. They're very harmless, and it looks like they're a stinger, but it's not a stinger. It's actually what's called jet propulsion, and it just squirts air out.
That's a technical term, huh?
Jet propulsion. Yeah. And it's so funny. Anytime I catch one, and I always show the kids, first thing I tease them, I say, see this long stinger? I say, you don't want to touch it. And I'll accidentally touch it. And I'll say, oh, he stung me. And they all freak out. And I'm like, oh, no, it won't hurt you. And then I'll pull his arms down, and he'll have this beak. And it goes up and down, and that's what hurts you.
Oh, really? It can hurt you?
Oh, yeah. I've been bitten by water scorpions. It does hurt.
How big do they get?
They're about the same size of a walking stick, so they're...
Oh, okay. They're probably fairly large.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now,
they actually look like walking sticks in the water.
Oh, okay. Now, a walking stick can't hurt you, can it?
They do have small mouth parts. I have never heard of anybody been bitten by a walking stick, but, I mean, I imagine they could.
They are certainly ugly.
They're really interesting. And yes,
not
we
to
do.
Each other. But
yeah. Well, we do have them here in Marion County. I actually found one last fall at Tallgrass Trail.
I had a little tiny one that was on our screen door on the back.
Okay.
And he spent the day there. And it was kind of fun to go and look at him and watch what he was doing. But he must have been a very young juvenile
because
he was only maybe 2 inches long.
Yeah, most of them can get about 6 to 8 inches long.
Yeah.
They're pretty good size.
Kind of thick body. They look like a little stick.
Yeah.
But they are very good for your gardens. They eat
small aphids and other pest species. Yep.
They love aphids. So I never bother with them. I let them go about their business.
That's good.
Along with ladybugs, which are really good for your garden.
Yep, sure are.
You were talking about the leaf mulch or leaf.
Leave the leaves?
Yeah, leave the leaves. I leave my leaves until they just get so much that the whole yard is covered. But I mow them. I chop them down into little bitty parts. So I've been watching a lot of YouTube gardening things, and they say that leaf mulch is great.
Oh, it is. It's great natural compost.
Yeah, and I suppose even though they're chopped down, they're not so small that they couldn't give cover for some sort of little critter.
They can. It's just when you're mowing, as we mentioned earlier, you have a possibility of running over butterfly and moth chrysalis or cocoons.
Yeah. I don't have a riding mower, so I get... If I have a critter in my yard, I usually see it before I get to it.
Yeah.
But I know my neighbors must be running over all sorts of critters. Oh, we have a phone call. Let's go back to the phone. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, it's me again. I couldn't pass up when he mentioned grass pickerel.
Okay.
Having grown up in Logan and Hocking County, we had a swimming hole that Scotts Creek actually dumped into. You know where Scotts Creek is?
I've gone bluegill fishing down there.
Okay, well, Scotts Creek dumped into the Hocking River just outside Logan, just up from Cacklemacker Park. And when we were kids, that was our swimming hole.
Oh, okay.
And we used to encounter quite a few grass pickerel in that swimming hole because it was right there where the river, and the Scotts Creek come together. So very interesting fish, and used to catch a few of them also in Hocking County, fishing in the Hocking River. So
I saw a picture of it. You didn't get a whole lot of fillet off of it.
No, they're not like a real pike or a real pickerel, but interesting fish. The same way with we had a trailer down near just outside of Malta on the Muskingum River, and we used to catch a lot of gar.
That's
an odd-looking fish.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's kind of scary the first time you see them.
They're really wicked-looking, aren't they?
Yeah. They
look like a barracuda.
Well, they're kind of prehistoric-looking, I think.
Yeah. Have you ever seen pictures of an alligator gar?
Yes. But years ago, and this would have been probably in the late 60s, maybe mid to late 60s. I think I was still in high school, so it had been before 68. But we used to spend quite a bit of time on weekends down at our trailer. And right there in Malta, where you cross over the bridge, there was a little gas station, one-pump gas station that had, you know, carry-out items in it. And they had a bulletin board in there with pictures of when the Army Corps of Engineers were working on the locks in that area. They actually had photographs of these huge catfish that were as big as a man.
Oh, my. Oh, probably a blue catfish. Yeah,
those things were big. They were literally as big as a man. And some of the divers that were working on those locks that were down would come up and say, "I'm not working down there anymore because those catfish are bigger than me."
I've heard about that in the Ohio River, yeah, that they can get really big.
And do they sting with those?
They have a special barb on their dorsal fin, so when they feel threatened, they stiffen it up, and yeah, if you were to grab it, it can sting you. Now, there's a little miniature one. It's called the Brindle Mad Tom, and some of them do have little phenom glands in it.
Oh,
not enough to kill you, but it can make you sick.
Well, I've been nailed a few times by channel cats.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not careful, they can hit you pretty hard. Hey, I'm just thinking, you know, one of these times coming up, I would like, if it's okay with Glenn, I would like for you to come in on my Thursday.
Oh, sure.
And the three of us could talk about Hocking County, Athens County, and that area.
Oh, yeah, good one.
There's so much history down there, so much interesting stuff to talk about between Nelsonville and Athens and Logan and New Straitsville and Haydenville and all those great places down there.
Oh, yeah, I would love that.
Yeah, my wife and I delivered newspapers at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, bless your heart.
Well, you know, there's, you know, the mine fires and all that kind of good stuff down there and the moonshining, you know. We'll kind of plan that sometime in the future.
Sounds like a good one. Sounds
all right, talk to you
soon.
Fred. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Fred Malone, back again. Yeah, Fred's from Logan area.
Yeah.
And so he knows all about the stuff that you and I are pretty familiar with.
Yeah.
Having you graduated from Hocking Tech.
Or, yeah, Hocking College and Rio Grande.
And Rio Grande. So that's all down in that area.
Yes, I was only down there for 5 years. I wish I was born down there. So.
5 years is a long time. You get to know a lot of stuff.
You do. You do get to know the area.
Yeah, I lived there for 12 years, so, you know, I wasn't a newbie when I talk about it, but that would be kind of a fun show, I think.
I think so.
That. We could combine critters and flora and fauna, and also talk about history, which Fred is terrific at.
Oh, he is. He's an encyclopedia with history.
Yeah, so that would be a good one. We'll just plan on doing that sometime in the near future. Well, we're getting down to our last minute and a half, and we're going to come back, and I've asked James to do his programs thing at the end of the next segment, so we'll get all the different programs that are going on in the county. Now, I assume your stuff is slowing down now.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's been busy the last couple of weeks. We just had a spider program on Tuesday. We had 17 people that came.
I want to talk about that when we come back.
That sounds good.
Because that's, if you had brought a spider, I would much prefer to be with this little brownie.
Well, I'm going to bring it in, I think, next year. I think I'll bring a spider in.
I don't mind spiders so much, but spiders are probably the only animal that I will kill on sight.
Spiders, snakes, and public speaking, those top three fears with people.
Really?
Yeah.
Public speaking is right along with those other
yes,
two.
Yes. Yep.
Well, I guess I kind of understand that. I love public speaking.
Oh,
but,
I do too.
Anyway, well, we're going to be back in about, it's a long break, so about 18 minutes, and so don't forget to keep your radio on and listen to us, because we're going to be talking about spiders. I'm sure you will love that information. And we're here with James Anderson. You're listening to Glenn Coble on the air, and we'll be back.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk.
When we're joined, this is great pride and privilege, for the first time by Joy Behar. You told a story on The Tonight Show after you left The View with Jay Leno that Barbara had threatened to fire you at one point.
Well, she did fire me. She didn't threaten to fire me.
She fired you.
Yeah, she told me she was not renewing my contract. You know, I spilled the beans inadvertently about Rosie O'Donnell coming on the show to the press, and Barbara was about to announce it on the Emmys, and she had a fit, and she was furious with me, and she fired me. She said, I'm not renewing your contract on the phone. I was like, well, it was a mistake. And she said, it was a big mistake. And then she took it back in like a half an hour.
When I typed in your name last night, something came up from your appearance on The View on Tuesday, I think it was.
Yeah.
Snooki was on, I guess.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, and
I was there.
One day this week, I think she was on. And she gave a quote to one of the internet sites that says the first time she was there,